Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 8th of November. I had to check my piece of paper then because I keep forgetting the date. It's the 8th of November. There is just 6 weeks till Christmas.
6 weeks?
6.5 weeks till Christmas. Is it 6.5 now? Have we still got 6.5 weeks?
Probably.
Something like that. I'm really bad. I'm normally down, counting down days by now, and I haven't even done my day countdown. But it's not long.
Zoom in.
I know there's just about 7 years left of this year.
Oh gosh!
And then it's going to be 2020.
Woohoo!
Anyone else looking forward to 2020?
Yes, it's going to be great. Positive.
As you can hear, my co-host in the studio today is the wonderful, gorgeous Julie Daniel, the chic stylist.
Hello, hello, hello,
hello. And our guest is Sandra Lamb, the founder of Body Mind Solutions.
Hello,
hello.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Yeah. So we do want to hear from you, as always, the listeners. So please do keep those tweets coming in. We've got a few coming in, so do keep tweeting us at Bunk Extra with hashtag Be Extra Be Bunk. If you'd like to call us in the studio, somebody will one day call us. Please call us. We want somebody to call us.
Right.
He doesn't believe me that the phone even works.
It actually has, there's a working phone number.
Does it actually work? Give us a call on 01233 220035, 01233 220035, and do give us an email if you've got an event. Okay, so we're nearly in 2020. 2020 is going to be epic. I can feel it in my bones.
Oh, yeah.
For everybody. Let us know what events are going on. If you'd like to come on the show and talk about yourself and your business. We've got some guest spots now for February and March. We're booking up now. So give us an email, bunkerextra@gmail.com. Get in touch with us. We want to know what's going on. We want to shout out about all the events that are going on. There's so many events going on these days. Sometimes I think a bit too many events. Everyone's going, oh, let's do an event.
And the lead up to Christmas as well only lends itself to more events, doesn't
it? Christmas events.
Lots of things
Christmas
happening.
Parties.
Award shows and things like that.
Awards, yeah. Awesome. Awards are normally...
Well, they've kind of done a lot of those already.
Yeah, they're normally sort of January, February awards, and then
we've had the autumn.
October through to November, the awards. So,
just finishing up now.
Yeah, but there's always lots going on. So we want to know about it. On last week's show, I was joined in the studio by co-host Ben, and our guest was Chris Wilmot from Pentascape. Now, that was we got into the subject, of course, of digital and social media. And you know what happens with those conversations. They just don't ever stop, do they?
So much there, isn't there?
So
talk
much,
about all our woes and all our triumphs as well.
It was good. It was a great show last week. But if you missed that and you want to hear that or any of the previous shows, they are all available for Friday. Download as a podcast. If you go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab and you can find all the shows on there. And they're really good that you can download them as a podcast these days, because podcasts are great on that. You can just take them wherever you go. So when you're walking, running, driving, all those type of things.
That's right. Especially when you're in the gym. That you love to do, Amanda?
Yeah. Me? Gym? Don't ever do that.
I know, I don't either. But a lot of people tell me that they listen back to our show in the gym because it's a good opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Anytime you're not physically doing something, and you need to have something to listen to.
That's right.
It's good with books, like aren't they? Audibles.
Yeah.
Audible.
I don't know what to do with that Audible.
Yeah. That's right.
But my trouble is my mind tends to wander why I'm listening. If I'm reading, I'm not so bad. But if I'm listening to an Audible, I think they say something, and then that takes my mind off on a tangent, and I start thinking about that, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not listening to the audible.
I lose track.
You're easily distracted.
I am really distracted. I was like, my brain was going 10 to the dozen all the time. I'm just like, audibles don't work so well for me. I do like them, but just, I'm a watching thing.
Yeah, so visual.
Watching visual, telly, and films and documentaries and all that type of thing, and videos, but... audibles just don't, mean audibles don't get on.
Well, they just blast the music instead then. You can dance around and you'll definitely keep the attention on the dancing then, at least.
Absolutely. We've got a few tweets out there. I want to give a shout out to, because I scrolled down too far now, the wonderful Chips and Dinks. I always have to be very careful how I say that.
Thanks, Tony.
Tony and
Bev.
Shout out, have a great show. And we are actually going to be touching on mental health awareness, because it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week. And obviously it has been bigger this year, I think, than any other year, hasn't it? Where people have been more aware and being made more aware about mental health and wellbeing.
Absolutely. And also the big social media drive. And we've had so many celebrities come out, haven't we?
Yeah.
With all the various sort of ailments.
Yeah. I think the royal family have really supported it as well.
Exactly.
Which I think has raised quite a lot as well.
Yeah.
Talking of, did you see the Queen was in Kent the other day?
Oh,
was she?
Did you miss this?
Was she?
Yeah, Yeah, the queen.
Uh-oh. We haven't been on social media
the
as much.
Queen. Yeah. Yeah. My old Elizabeth. No, she
Liz.
Old Lizzie.
Lizzie.
She was. There's a new British Legion village opening up in Kent. I can't remember where. Paul, please tell me.
Okay.
Please
tell me. Maidstone. There's one in Maidstone, isn't
it?
There?
It might be around Maidstone area. I can't remember. I have to look it up now. But yeah, and it's the Royal British Legion. Because they were opening this new village for veterans, she came down to open it.
Amazing.
And she buried it was really funny actually, there's a video, somebody videoed it. So basically people that we know have been involved with it. So Chives Catering, Deborah and Graham Green from Chives Catering.
Brilliant.
Catered for the Queen.
Amazing.
They didn't know.
Did they meet her?
No.
Did they?
No, they just cooked her food for her. But they didn't actually, they were commissioned to do the catering for the event, but they didn't know, obviously, because they had to keep it all hush. They were catering for the Queen.
Lizzie.
The
Queen. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the Queen.
Fantastic. Appointment. What a great thing to put on your website.
Well,
huh?
Exactly. You can imagine it's all over social media. It's brilliant. Yeah. And also Lavender Blue Media, who do video in, they were commissioned to do the video of the day.
That is amazing.
So that was absolutely awesome. So, yeah, the Queen was in Kent, and Paul's obviously not listening because he hasn't told me whereabouts in Kent that they are. But what made me really laugh was one of the videos that was on, I think, the Kent Messenger website, is they videoing the Queen doing her burying this time capsule. So basically the time capsule is supposed to be buried for 100 years. And it's really funny because we've got, bless her, the Queen, who's what, in her 90s now, isn't she? With this shovel. Shoveling
bending
them,
down. Bending honestly.
Them, shoveling a little bit of earth.
The poor lady. Shoveling her own.
But what made it even funnier was she shuffled shoveled a little bit of the earth. And then as soon as she stood up, one of her guardsmen was there. One from one side took the shovel and the other one gave her a handbag back.
Oh,
can't be without it.
I know. And I was just like,
I love that.
That's so funny. She's like,
there's your handbag, ma'am.
Yeah. Even in the manual labour, she's got that £5,000 handbag ready to match and coordinate with the outfit.
Oh my God, it just made me laugh. Bless her.
I'm such a huge fan.
You're
of
a royalist, are you?
I am. I just, you know, I love all of that. And good on
so what's your thoughts on Meghan then and what she's been going through? Because there's that documentary most recently.
Yeah, and I think, it's good. It highlights the pressure and the stress. And I think, you know, well done on her because, you know, back off, people. You know, give her a break. She's
human at the end
exactly,
of the day.
And they're now in a position where they're doing good. They're helping. You know, what do the royal family do? They help as many charities and people as they can, basically, at the end of the day. That's what they do. They're there. They're monarchy. They're something for us to look up to. They're something that's been in our country for hundreds and hundreds of years. And why should they not have the support? You know,
I just think people are jealous, aren't they?
Yeah.
People want the money and they just think, well, what do they do to earn that money? And I work so goddamn hard.
Yeah.
But you've got to look past that because it's a tradition.
They don't have a choice, really.
They probably work a lot harder than a lot of people do because of the amount of work that they do and the travelling and all the charity work. And if you look, I mean, I'm really, because I love it so much, I watch all the, not documentaries but like the dramatisations, like I'm watching Rain on Netflix at the moment, which is about Mary Queen of Scots and the Tudors and all that type of thing. But if you look at their time, they had to marry who they were told to marry. That was tradition, you know, and the royal family and the lions and all this type of thing, and it's crazy. Whereas at least now they've come into a century where they've been allowed to marry the people that they love, which I think is great,
because they had to marry in the kind of family,
within
didn't
the family, they had to marry.
They had to keep the bloods.
They had to marry another
royal.
So to have those collaborations, you know, that's had to marry someone
within
from Germany
your
or Scotland
or something. I know,
exactly.
Crazy.
It's crazy. So no, I think it's good. And you say the amount that they are doing to help build that awareness, and I think it's really great these days that there's so much awareness.
But they are at the end of the day, they're human. They're real life. They're a real life family, and they're inevitably going to go through all the things that we, as everyday people, are also going through. The thing with them is obviously it's public. Yeah. So all the things that are going on with Meghan and Harry and Wills and Kate and, you know, the divorces and all the all the various marriage breakdowns and the children going off the rails a little bit, you know, it's all over the TV. So
and you
would
think, well, exactly. And you would think that something should have been learned from Diana's death. Because of
I
how
think
that
that's
happened.
Probably why they're doing what they're doing, I think, you know, because they can see the importance of recognising people's vulnerabilities, really. Definitely.
And it's good because it shows they're human at the end of the day, doesn't it? It shows that they're human.
Well, I think this generation is, you know, the current generation, you know, Harry.
Exactly.
And Will, I think.
Exactly.
And that's some human.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that they, you know, future kings.
Absolutely.
That they can sort of...
Modern thinking, you know,
keep up with the times and everything.
More world, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Worldly.
We've also had a tweet from the wonderful, lovely Tracy Ferguson. She's going to listen again. She did a lovely Tracy because she always listens to the replays and all shows and then she tweets while she's listening. Aww. So you've got all this information, you know, all these comments going she on while lovely. She's listening, which is great. And she's been a busy week of workshops, preparation and finalising the design of my next Plucky World project through thought cards. So she's designed these plucky cards, which is to help people with their thoughts and processes and all that type of thing, the plucky cards, and rethinking unhelpful thoughts. So thought cards and about rethinking unhelpful cards. So do follow Tracy, which is Tazzy, T-A-Z-I 64, and find out more about her plucky cards because she's good. Tracy works with a lot of different people, but she helps with training and coaching them to get ready for work and the confidence and all that type of thing. So Tracy, we love you. You're amazing. Yeah, which is really, really good. We've had Fruitworks. They've asked for a shout out, please. They've expanded. Look at this picture. So they've newly refurbished offices. They've got ready to occupy. They've got fixed desks, refurbished and good. So email hello@fruitworks.co. if you would like to find out more about renting their spaces in Canterbury. It's a great place down there.
Me Now, they're saying they've got lots going on. And I think they'd like a shout out.
So. Always give a shout out to Me Now. We're going to have them back on the show soon
they've
to catch up with
them. Lots of news, lots
them.
Of things happening. So yeah, it'd be good to hear what they're up to.
We've got a lovely one here from Athelbury. Have you seen the Winnie the Pooh?
Ah.
Yeah, enjoy your Friday, Bunker Extra team. We'll have to catch up on listen again as we're off to lunch with Denise Wilton and mental health and wellbeing, great topics for discussion, and delighted that we'll be seeing so many businesses embracing the need for provision and positivity in staff. So obviously Athelbury do lots of different types of training and staff training, and they do a whole big section on
wellbeing
and everything. So because I think that's the thing as well, it's the responsibility of individuals, but also for employees, isn't it? It's their responsibility to help.
Absolutely, and support.
Yeah,
and recognise the need, really, because quite often people don't recognise it themselves.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, for managers and
absolutely,
you know, leaders in the organisation
to
appreciate what's going on with their teams and their staff, because it's all about ensuring that the teams and staff are in a good place and that they are taking the right responsibility, as you say.
Yeah.
But the individuals are taking the right responsibility and know they're getting supported.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really key.
I guess the main thing is for everybody to just be know that there's somebody that there that will listen to them at the end of the day, isn't it? And you get different stages of stress. And I think it's nice that it's now acceptable that stress is not acceptable, you know, rather than going, you know, stress is part of the job, you have to get on with it. It's like, actually, you know, there are ways to deal with it.
Mm. And they have full-blown courses and, you know, all sorts of learning for people now. So there is really no excuse.
No, I think it's really important as well to understand that everybody's needs are different as well.
Yeah.
You know, and understand what's right for one person isn't necessarily right for another in a working environment or, you know, working conditions and things. So, yeah, being able to be flexible and understanding that everybody's needs are different and what one person might feel is stressful, another won't.
Yeah.
And it's recognising that that's okay.
Totally. You know? Different tolerance levels and resilience levels that we all have.
Do they
and
start
different perceptions? Because at the end of the day, stress is about perception and it's how people perceive their environment or what they expect themselves. So understanding that those are all different for each of us is really important.
Do they start it early enough now? Because you hear so much about kids now getting so stressed out about exams and stuff. Should they not bring wellbeing into the schools?
Well, they started, didn't they?
I mean,
they
were doing mindset. Mindfulness,
yeah,
I think, and things like that.
Sessions.
And understanding, you know, that you can make a difference to how you think and feel and understanding that you've got control over those things, which is really important from a young age. I think people understand that early on, then you're, you know.
Well, exactly. Set them up. Now we're so much aware, because you hear of children having stress and anxiety, and even, bless my 7-year-old daughter, she was unwell for quite a long time and we're trying to get it sourced. And in the end, the doctor said, you know, it's stress. It's like, she's 7.
What?
She got to be stressed about?
Oh,
but she's
her.
A very sensitive soul.
Yeah.
So it's about them. The children don't understand their emotions quite often.
And of course, their world,
feel
everything, you know, is exaggerated in their little world, because all they know is what they know and what they have. And they,
absolutely,
at that point, probably too immature to be able to deal
with
other things around them and changes and, you know, anything that kind of disrupts,
that's
again, their little world that they know and their routines, and you know, it doesn't take much
for them
to fall out of sync. And they are still very fragile because they're still growing mentally, emotionally, and in so many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
My fear with that, with the children though, is going too far the other way.
Yeah, it's got to be in the balance.
We've gone through a generation of creating what Paul likes to call snowflakes, whereas, you know, they're
too delicate.
They're too delicate. And they, yeah. Well, yeah. It is, but they're too delicate. And they've no resilience and they can't deal with anything.
I was talking about, it's about getting the balance, like you say. And I think quite often sometimes what children don't get is the opportunity to make judgments early on. There's choices made for them because life is protected around them.
Exactly.
And I think... I know it's so very easy always to say, you know, when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, we just used to go out and play, and you'd have to make decisions and make choices about what was safe for you.
Yeah.
And it does build your resilience. And I think, society is such that children don't have that opportunity
quite so early
on as well.
Yeah, agree.
But then again, there's lots more choices as well. And the more choices we have, I think the more stress it puts upon us, and particularly young people, because... Again, their brains aren't designed to make lots of different choices. You know, what's right, what's wrong? I don't know. And that puts us in a state of, you know, discord, if you like, because society gives us so much to choose.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go, even in the supermarket, you can choose. There's just such a choice. You know, it's so much easier when you just go into a shop and there's one packet of pasta and that's all you pick up. Not like, which one do I pick up?
Yeah, there's hundreds of different ones.
Simple things like that. But that all adds to the more choices, more things, more decisions that we've got to make. Is it the right choice? Is it the wrong choice? And all of that puts us into a state of, am I doing the right thing?
It's hard for us as adults, let alone the children.
Absolutely.
So, but then how do we deal with that type of thing though? I mean, I know we're going to cover a lot more of this, obviously, when we find out more about your business, but this is a subject, this was planned, of course, to have you on today on, you know, Mental Health Awareness Week, you know, planning goes to everything we do. But for anybody, for all of us, if we're dealing with indecision, as it were, how can we make ourselves more assertive with what we do?
I think it's about being confident with decisions that you make, that it's okay sometimes to make the wrong choice. Mm. And when we're fearful of failing, then it stops us from making decisions.
Yeah.
And if we understand that whatever we do, whatever challenge we come up against, is always a lesson. So even if it turns out not to have been the right choice retrospectively, then we've learned something from it. So that's still a positive.
Absolutely. And that coming down to, you know, I think we have that massive fear of failure. I mean, we've talked about that on this show a few times.
God, it's our favourite subject.
It's the key subject, because I think as business owners, it's probably the number one fear, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the point is that sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees and we forget exactly that point you've made. And that is, but there's always some lesson to be learned.
Yeah.
There is some form of a silver lining in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you're so consumed in it, again, your emotions take over, you know, depend on your resilience levels, you know, you just get so involved that you can't actually see that actually that was a godsend for whatever reason, you know, but you're not always going to see it at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think when it comes to failure, the horrible F word, I think we've always got to look to, well, where can we go from here then?
That's it. And it's not about focusing on the fact that I might not fail. It's about focusing on the fact that I might succeed.
Absolutely. Turn it on its head.
On where you want to
be. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If at the end of, you know, whatever decision you've made, that's not taking you towards where you want to be, that's fine. We'll look at what the next option is.
It's about reassessment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Reevaluating.
Definitely.
Tweaking as you go and never stay, you know, in a very blinkered, narrow-minded kind of, you know, fixed mindset. You've got to be open to whatever's sort of coming your way, embrace it and kind of roll with it.
But some people do get into a state of sort of hypersensitivity to what's going on around them because of experiences they've had. And it may be that what they've experienced hasn't been very pleasant. And that can put us into a state of almost on the back foot, expecting that whatever's coming up isn't going to turn out how they want it to be. And, you know, that's kind of work I do, is helping people to assess and understand and move beyond those kind of expectations.
So we're getting into the the belief system, really, then, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really where people have had an experience of a situation. It might not have gone as well. They've then told themselves, well, this thing can't ever happen or won't ever work for me, or I'm not good enough to do this or to be capable to take this forward, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a cycle because it's then the negativity setting in, and you're only feeling there's only so far. You set your own glass ceiling, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, that's all in our unconscious processing. So it's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we're not even aware of how these things impact on us quite often. Mm. We just feel what we feel. And the key to it is understanding how the unconscious works, recognizing where it's taking you. Is it taking you to where you want to be? Or is it taking you down a different path?
And that's where self-awareness comes into play. Absolutely. And not everybody gets that when they're in it, of course.
No, absolutely.
Which is a difficult situation.
Yeah, which is why sometimes it does help. That's why it helps just to talk to a friend. You know,
totally.
Because you're reflecting. You're allowing yourself to actually talk through some of your issues. Mm. And, you know, once you've reflected on it, things start to make a bit more sense instead of the unconscious just sort of swimming around in the background and being completely unaware of it. When you bring it forward to the conscious, it all makes a bit more sense. And you can
see. You get those light bulb moments, isn't it? And you're
absolutely.
Like, oh my God, yes.
I can see that.
I can see that, and it makes sense. We've had a couple of tweets coming in. We've had one from the lovely Lisa Settle. And have you heard about Slow Down Day from All Health Matters? So every 18th of December, it's national, or they created
like
a national Slow Down Day.
I love that.
So you have to, you know, everyone's just slow down. Just chill, slow down.
Lisa. Yeah.
Which is a great one.
18th of December, everybody, slow down.
Lisa, we'll sort that one
out. Stay in middle days, slow enough.
But I think we do need to have more than one of those days.
Totally.
One
a week?
One a week is definitely. One a week.
A couple of weeks.
But it's good to isn't it, to say that it is okay to slow down, and it's an important part of how our body functions.
It's like we need permission to do it. Like, you know, today is National Slowdown Week, so it's okay for me to do a little Netflix and chilling this evening and not just sit on my laptop and continue to work. It's like we need to be kind of told somewhere, or for our partners or our family to say, just stop a minute. Just slow down. And let's like revisit, or let's just go out for a meal. Let's go and do something different. Just take your mind off of work for a moment, because you've been really under it recently. And we just want somebody to kind of tell us that there, it's fine. Slow down. Let's stop.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I think, again, you miss doing that for yourself, because you just feel you're on this treadmill.
Yeah. And I think factoring into those kind of days, or those kind of times into your week, is really important.
Yeah,
into your day. Into your day, you should be putting in break periods.
I did appreciate. I used to be a part of a mastermind group called Mums in Business, which is run by the beautiful Nicola Hewlin, and she did a series of slow down, and she said, like, so just 10 minutes a day. One of the things that you're doing, do it slowly. So if it's making a cup of tea. If it's sitting and having lunch,
stirring the tea for a few extra minutes, is lovely.
Just literally slow down that process, because you end up otherwise buzzing around like headless chickens. And it's not just work, obviously work, family,
children,
animals.
You know, and it's part of our natural physiology. We're designed to have rest and activity.
Mm. Yeah.
And if we don't allow our body to do that, it will have an impact on us. It's really important that you do bring it into everyday life.
That's why I think when you do then decide to take a break and you do stop, or you go on holiday, you literally just collapse, don't you? Because your body is just built up.
And quite often
all that energy
become unwell in periods like that. If they
Absolutely. Because they've not moderated.
What happens if you stop it, then you can't get going again.
Well, that's why you have to practice it regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it becomes like, you actually feel energized after. Starts of energy.
Stop. We've also had a tweet from a new listener. Hello, growth247.co.uk. And he says, hi, loving the show and chat. Could make a link between the Queen's visit and mental health awareness for veterans. Very much so. And I have some idea of this. I spent 23 years in the military. So thanks for listening.
I think he also said good luck to you as well, Sandra. He must be one of your connections.
Yes, it's my partner.
Oh, there we go then. Brilliant.
We've got a new listener.
Brilliant.
Forget that he's your partner. He's not listening for you. He's listening for us, aren't you? What's his name?
Tim.
Thank you for listening, Tim. We're here regularly, Tim.
Come back every Friday morning.
But no, definitely. I think it's something you, all different aspects. of being aware of the different areas that mental health and wellbeing.
I mean,
affects.
Recently, you must all have seen the whole ITV time. What's it called?
Times Talk.
Which was pretty fabulous. I mean, you know, in the middle of one of the biggest TV shows, what was it, Britain's Got Talent or something?
Yeah.
And they just stopped.
Yeah.
And Anton Deck said, right, we're going to do something different now.
Yeah.
And literally they gave us all a minute or 2 minutes. I mean, to be fair, we all just burst out, you know, laughing, you know, at home.
Yeah.
It was like, what's this about? This doesn't make any sense. And everybody's trying to understand, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But actually, and it was great. And all the adverts that's followed since then, all the newsreaders, you know,
time to talk.
It's been brilliant that they're continuing to plug it. And it's so good for everybody in their sitting rooms to stop for a minute.
Yeah.
And speak to each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Make eye contact.
I know we
get
do.
Get off your phones.
And I know you do family meals.
So oh, God,
really important.
End of the day, all sit down to have dinner together and chat.
About
Although the conversations normally are Paul asking Lucy, what did you do at school today? And Lucy going, I don't remember.
Yeah, that kind of goes like that in my household too.
What did you do today? Oh, I don't know.
It was just school.
It was just school, just normal day.
Normal day.
I know.
Which is brilliant. We also had a lovely tweet from the wonderful, lovely Beverly Bum.
From
mental health and wellbeing point of view, I've had a fab week. Monday night, a play in London. Tuesday night, meal with friends. Wednesday night, women in business medway. Always wonderful. And last night, Dragon Co-working for Molly Moodle's business marketing event, which was great. So she had a great week. And I also believe, Beverly, that you are going to be a speaker at the upcoming Business Diaries, which is happening on the 5th of December. So that's a good lead in there. You see that coming. And
like
where's my piece of paper gone? Oh, hang on. I can't find my piece of paper with all the dates on it. Here we go. I found it. Thursday, the 5th of December at 6:45, the Business Diary returns. Now, if you have never been to a Business Diaries event, you need to come along to this. So it's join us for the next entertaining evening of storytelling. Each session will bring storytellers ready and willing to pass on their lessons learned, the ups and downs of business and life, and give a taster of their life in their shoes. Now, this is a series of events brought about by the wonderful Elisa Settle of Tailcare. And it's just an awesome, awesome evening. If you haven't been, you need to come along to this. It's a mixture of networking and everything, but it's just hearing people's stories. And we've had funny stories. We've had stories that made us cry. Yeah, this is the third year, second year.
Right.
Second or third year. I can't remember, Lisa.
I think Lisa said it's nearly sold out, she was saying. So it's really, really popular.
It's really, really popular. Yeah, it's a great evening. This one is the Christmas special, and they always donate all ticket sales, and they've got sponsors for this one they're going to a charity. We'll give more details about the charity and the amount they've raised next week. But I know they've just announced one of their speakers. They have five speakers who basically telling us a story from within their life, which is relative to their
business. There's a theme usually,
isn't
there?
There's always a theme to the stories. And as I say, bring your tissues because you will laugh, you will cry.
I know.
But it's really lovely to get some more insights. And you can, a lot of time you can go, oh, you know, yeah, it
you can resonate with,
with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's
building those connections then, isn't it, from there too.
Yeah, it's great. So if you go to Eventbrite and put in the Business Diaries, 5th December, you can book on for that. It's 6:45 to 9 p.m. the Innovation Centre in Chatham. And it's just £10 saying all of that goes to charity. And yes, Lisa, get in the extra Prosecco. I shall be there. She always has a whole bottle just for me.
Just for you.
Just for me. I only go for the Prosecco.
I bet you do.
And just quickly, just a couple more events before we go to our break. So Wednesday, the 27th of November at 6 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. at the Metro Bank in Maidstone is the FSB Connect, hosted by the lovely Peter Searle, networking event. And at this event, he's got Amy Payne, who's a cybersecurity officer for Kent Police, and obviously talking about covering yourself and your business against cyber attacks. Again, if you go to Eventbrite and look for events in Maidstone, that's the FSB Connect, hosted by Peter Searle. We're going to have a quick break, musical break now, and when we come back, we're going to be speaking more to Sandra about her business, Body Mind Solutions, and obviously more going on about, because it's very much related to health and wellbeing and mental health. So we'll be back right after this.
Came in the door, chucked in my coat, and who I'm looking for is there. professional training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. I almost forgot to turn it all back on then. We were so busy chatting.
We were.
Get carried away. That's the thing. We have a conversation on air, then we go off air, and then we have
continue
to come back on air. We can continue.
Talk.
And actually, we're obviously just playing a Whitney song, and we were just mentioning about the fact that she died.
I was just saying how much in tears I was. It was just the most sad funeral ever. All the R&B singers coming up, singing a cappella. It was, you know, they had actually all their tributes and all the people that worked with her, and it's just heart wrenching. And I loved
Whitney.
Tragedy,
really.
Yeah, and it just highlighting the fact that all of these stars that have died young, and you know, had problems with drugs and alcohol and everything like that, which obviously has been detrimental to their lives, is because of the stress they're under and under their work. And of course, there could be that slight argument. Well, you know, if you're going to be famous,
you got to take that.
You've got to take it
part of your job.
Hopefully these days, now that we are being more sensitive and more aware to mental health, that famous people can turn around and go.
And much of it is about the emotion of how they feel about themselves as well. Mm. I mean, obviously how you deal with what goes on around you is a lot of stress, but it depends how you're feeling about you as a person. And often these kind of people are just dealing with demons in their, in their head, for want of a better word, really. Yeah. But being able to come to terms with emotions that they're feeling inside themselves.
But they've got to keep up the facade, though, regardless of even
so
if they've made
there's a person on the inside
awareness.
And then there's a person on the outside.
Yeah.
Everyone sees the person.
There's an
alter
ego, isn't there?
And they don't feel comfortable or confident enough to be able to express what they're feeling on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's getting that.
But I don't know, do they feel that they're allowed to? Because in their time, the Michael Jacksons and the Whitney Houstons and even the Elvis Presleys, I mean, you know, was it okay? Was it allowed? Could they be open and honest about that inside, that inner them saying, I'm not in a good place.
No, I recently watched Judy. Have you seen the film Judy?
Oh, yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And understanding, you know, what she went through in her life and understood.
She struggled with a lot of issues because she was an alcoholic, wasn't she?
You know, she had lots of different issues, really. Mm. But when you look back at actually what she went through, the kind of life she was exposed to as a child, it's no wonder that she couldn't cope with everything that was going on around her.
But then when you look at someone like, say, Tina Turner, I don't know if you've seen What's Love Got to Do with It or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, her life with like Ike Turner was crazy.
That's it.
But then look at her now.
Yeah.
She's a force to be reckoned with. She's still going strong.
Some people can deal with it, some people can't.
Exactly.
And it depends what support you have around. Have you got the support mechanisms around you in order to be
the
able
right
to deal with those things as well?
Yeah.
And you do see some people come out, you know, the other side of it, you know, stronger for having gone through that journey, and other people just don't get through that journey, and that's what's really sad and really tragic.
It is.
So that brings on nicely onto what you do. But before we talk fully about what you do, how did you get into doing what you do?
Well,
what did you used to do? Give us your history.
So there's two things that I do that I've brought together, really. So I'm a physiotherapist, and I've been a physiotherapist for over 30 years. So I've
not old enough.
She definitely doesn't look old enough. Brilliant.
That's always been my passion. And I've worked with people for many years, you know, helping them feel better.
Get better.
Physically.
Yeah.
But I discovered that often people that weren't recovering from physical problems, there was emotional issues behind that, and there was reasons why that. So I then trained as a clinical hypnotherapist and psychotherapist, and I've brought the two things together. So what I do now is to help people recover from physical issues that aren't recovering, and start to help them to look at the emotional element, their belief system, their expectations about themselves and about the world around them, and how that's impacting actually on their body's physiology. Because when we are in a state of stress or discord, it actually creates physical changes within our body. So it's not like some people think, oh, is it just meaning that that pain is in my mind? No, it's not. It's actually a physiological change that's happening in your body as a result of the emotions that we have within us. And very often we don't question those emotions because they've been there for so long. We just believe that they're part of us and we see them as just who we are. But in fact, that's not necessarily the case. It's about exploring those emotions and those beliefs and helping people to move beyond them.
So do you find any resistance with that? Because there'll be a lot of people out there that don't actually believe that to be true.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. That's a really hard thing to grasp.
Yes.
If you're not, you don't have that kind of deep awareness.
Yes.
The mental health mindset works against.
You know, the reason that it is difficult is because it's not something that we've routinely explored. You know, if we have a physical problem, we believe there's a physical reason.
Exactly.
And there is a physical reason, because there are physical changes. But what we've got to look is a bit deeper than that. Why are those physical changes persisting? Why are they not responding to, you know, the normal treatment or the normal work that we would do? And many people that have gone through the system, they have repeated episodes of pain, they have had repeated interventions, and they're still not getting better. When we start to have a conversation with them, they recognise that there are some of these things that they have been holding on to emotionally, and understand that actually that could be part of the reason. So the work I do helps people to explore and reflect on that, like you say, become more self-aware. And as a result, they then begin to say, actually, do you know what? You could be onto something here. There could be something here that I need to deal with that I haven't dealt with before. And if that's what's causing my pain, then that's what I need to deal with. Then they are. Sometimes it takes, like you say, it does take people a while to come round to that fact and understand it. But I mean, I help people to understand the process from the start. So once they've explored it, then they're on board.
And I'm nodding my head profusely because Sandra has. I've been one of Sandra's people that she's helped.
Oh.
I had continuous problems with neck pain and back pain. And neck pain, you could go straight away, oh yeah, that's stress, I know that's stress. But the pain I kept on getting in my back, and literally I could hardly move. And I used to see McTimney chiropractor, obviously the people that click you and pull you around and everything. And she was great, don't get me wrong, she was great. But it wasn't helping. And then I just contacted Sandra because we'd met through networking. I said, Sandra, this is not helping. And she said, well, come and see me, and did the physical side of things. And then she did sit down to me and say, obviously this is stress. I knew it was stress, but didn't know how to deal with it.
It's and dealing with the stress.
Dealing with the stress. And things.
Kicking you back into shape.
Exactly. And Sandra was amazing. She's helped. So we looked at what was causing the stress and the underlying. And we were talking about it before, about the fact that it's all psychologically going on in the background. It's not necessarily something stuff's obvious and you go, yeah, I know that's causing me stress. But sometimes you can't work out what it was. And I went through the process with Sandra, and now I need to be seeing you again.
You know, she'll get her diary out in a minute. Book you in.
But I no longer have problems with my back and neck. As soon as I start feeling the stress and tension coming in my neck, I know how to deal with it straight away. So I know how to physically deal with it by putting heat packs and everything. But then I also now know to go
relax. Stop. Yeah, for a minute. Meditate
and,
maybe.
And then it's like you say, questioning yourself, okay, what is it? What's creating that stress response within me? And you start to begin to reflect and look inwards and think, okay, is it about that? And, you know, if things keep happening and there's repeated patterns, then we begin to explore, what is that pattern? Okay, so what do I need to do to change that pattern?
Yeah.
How can I stop that repeating? And I still do physical work as well with clients, but I don't tend to do that until we've addressed the other things, because all that happens is you release tension, get things moving again, but then it comes back. So once we've worked on some of the, the patterns emotionally that keep triggering that stress, then we can start looking at some of the physical rehab as well. So we add that on afterwards.
So tell me, when it comes down to it, does it actually work? Does a person really dealing with their mental emotion and mindset and blockages and beliefs?
Yes.
I'm just being a devil's advocate here.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that really help? they have to have a belief, don't they, that it's going to work? Because if they come in, you know, all brazen, you know, right, okay, I need sorted, my back, my this, my that. There's no problems with me. I've got, you know, a perfect life. I've got the family, the house, the cars, the job, the business, whatever. Life is good. You know, I've just got this back problem. Yes. There's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah,
other
and
than
I do
that.
See people, some like that, and they're not open to exploring other avenues, and that's fine, and they can carry on and do what it is that they want to do to try and resolve it. It may be that it never does resolve, in which case they might then start to think maybe there was something there.
Yeah,
yes, it does, and I, you know, I very often see people. I love seeing the complicated cases that have been through surgery and have had lots of injections and things like that, and the pain still keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And then they start to explore these areas and
they get desperate and have to be more open
to
their belief systems.
Yeah,
and that,
absolutely.
That could be contributing.
But what I would like to do is to think that there will be a time when we start at that point.
Rather than it being the final journey, it's like this, well, straight away thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's routinely part of an assessment.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just at the moment, often the only choice for people in this kind of situation is just giving medication.
Yeah, because the way you're looking at it seems as a bit of an alternative therapy, and that's the thing, it's not conventional.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get the majority of the population necessarily on it unless they are a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I think more widely it's accepted. I mean, part of the guidelines for managing back pain is if it's persisting more than 6 weeks that we do begin to explore some psychological aspects.
Right.
But very often what happens is that we can be exploring the psychological fallout, if you like, of having pain, as opposed to the reason that it's there in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of what I want to start to spread the word about, really.
Yeah, brilliant.
Help people to understand that. And there are more and more people coming on board with this concept. I'm not completely unique.
Not at all.
But I think, it'd be great if, you know, if there's anybody that's listening that works in this way, I'd love to connect with them as well, because I think the more people that we get together that work in this way, the more that we can, you know, share the benefits, really. And it's not just pain. There's other physical symptoms. I see people with chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working recently with a young person who's had chronic fatigue, 18-year-old, who struggled through sixth form and literally hasn't been able to function since, has had to defer uni, has chronic fatigue and pain. You know, the results in a couple of months have just been amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, she's now at a point where she's got herself a part-time job and she's, you know, functioning at a much better
level. So can the sessions really vary dependent on, obviously, the problem and the issue? So from the physical side of things, moving into the more mindset side.
Yeah.
I mean, what's an average kind of block of
generally, I work with people over a period of a few months.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be substantial enough to be meaningful.
Absolutely, and to sort of see the journey on,
of course,
like, to help people move forward, particularly when you're looking at both the physical and the emotional. I mean, sometimes I do work with people just from an emotional point of view. They may not have any physical symptoms, but they're aware that they're not comfortable with how they're feeling and where they want to be. So sometimes we'll just work with that aspect of things as well.
I think also as well, unfortunately, in the world we live in where people want instant results, that's the other thing, people's mindset's got to change, is this is not something that you can instantly fix. It takes time. It's like, unfortunately, with busy GP practices and doctors, and if they get somebody that comes to them with consistent pain, they just try and give them different drugs before trying to go, why don't you try this? Because with my back and neck, I mean, I was in so much pain with my back, I could hardly move. And my doctor's answer was to give me diazepam.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not taking that. Thank you. And I know she was taking it because
it's a muscle relaxant
as well as. But I was like, but that's not going to.
Their hands are tied. They're like, well, this is all I can suggest.
That's all they,
really.
Exactly.
So again, if there's any GPs out there or doctors out there that are listening, please feel free to get in touch with us. I'd really love to explain a little bit more.
Exactly. And that's what I think doctors should be able to do is look at you and go, right, okay, well, I can give you this medication, but that's not the long time answer. And then be able to recommend healthcare professionals like yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just not conventional
like
enough at the moment.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get to that point.
That will be the
measure. Where it will be the measure. Most
Because, it, you know, it's nothing extraordinary that I do, if you like. It's a process that I go through. And I use a particular technique called brain work and recursing therapy, which is a change tool, if you like, to help people change the patterns that are recurring. But I go through a whole process to get people to the point where they want to be, where we start with kind of their awareness of the situation, help them change the perception, which is where I use the tool, and then moving on to looking at what their intention is, where they want to be, and looking at what actions they're going to need in order to be able to get that, to go forward.
It sounds very similar to the NLP practice, because I'm an NLP practitioner and I do a lot of that work with clients who have lots of, you know, lack of confidence and self-esteem, and
that's it.
Looking at the body confidence side of things, because that's kind of my area. That it's absolutely about looking at the awareness. What is it that, you know, they're blocking in terms of how they look, their image, and why they're feeling so insecure, and identifying that through different sort of coaching tools, if you like. So it's very similar practice, but it is about unblocking and getting them to open up so you can identify where those issues are and get them to identify for themselves, because then they get that aha, don't they?
Definitely.
And then they can work on it from there.
Absolutely. And I think, like you say, the little gap really is that, you know, people have been using psychotherapeutic techniques to help people with anxiety, obviously, for a very, very long time. But what's not always recognised is that the physical symptoms are connected to these emotions. And let's start looking at the emotions before we go down the line of numerous kind of physical investigations. Once we've ruled out the serious pathology, then let's just get straight in and say, okay, what else is going on? And that's kind of the you know, the mission that I have help people improve their health and well-being, really.
And I think nowadays that obviously the mental health awareness is being pushed more and promoted more, and, you know, those people from the conventional ways are going to have to turn around and go, well, actually, yes, we need to accept there are many different types of different therapy. Obviously, yours is one way and there are others that help different people in different ways. And it's like there is no physical answer. There's no drugs that can help you.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. You know, and there might be a whole host of other practitioners, like you say, using NLP techniques or using, you know, other psychotherapeutic techniques. Mm. But it's about bringing
CBT,
them.
And
there are some CBT practitioners that are physios that are using CBT. Mm. Again, a lot of it, I think, is that I've recognised is that they're using it to change how people feel because of the pain, as opposed to
what's caused the pain.
But
the root.
As I say,
whatever tool you use, it doesn't really matter. It's about making that connection between how your emotions impact on your physiology in your body and recognising what that's doing to our body. I think we all spend a lot of time thinking about what we eat and how we exercise because we want a healthy body.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much we are aware. And many people go, oh, I know I need to be less stressed, so I'm going to take time out and relax. But actually those underlying emotions, we talked about that, so those underlying emotions that are churning around in the background that we don't know about or that we're not recognising that create that discord.
You can have like a whole week off and de-stress, but it doesn't mean
that you're fixed.
They're still going to be there at the end of the day when you go back.
Unless it's dealt with.
And I bring that analogy in when I work with people, you know, and I say that, you know, it is, you know, it's an investment spending time working with me. Over a period of, you know, 3 months or more. But actual fact, you know, how much better do you feel when you've invested in a week off on holiday and you come back and everything's still the same?
Yeah.
You know, so it's about looking at, you know, the changes that are going to last.
Mm. Yeah, so, very much so.
Such an amazing difference you're making to real people with real problems.
It's lovely to see the changes.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you.
Well, it's been great hearing more about it. As I say, I've been fortunate enough to experience it firsthand, and I can say it does work. And I wasn't necessarily one of these, I'm 50-50 on alternative therapies, and not that this is an alternative therapy, you know, but
non-conventional
therapies and different approaches. But obviously I had this physical pain and I did know that there was a stress factor there. So as soon as I started working with Sandra and seeing Sandra, and it just changed completely. And the method that she used when she's explaining it to you, you're like,
Well, it makes sense to the fact that, you know, you've got this underlying thing that your brain just picks up, but how does it work? And I couldn't explain to anybody how it worked, but I just said to me, but it works. And everyone's going, oh, it's great. I'm like, no, it really works. It's great. Which is great. So, Sandra, unfortunately, we have run out of time. We're coming to the end of the show. If people want to contact you, what's the best way of them to get hold of you?
Yeah. Well, you can email me on sandra@bodymind-solutions.co.uk. That's probably the best way to contact me, I should imagine.
Yeah, and you're on all social media as well, aren't you? It's Body Mind Solutions or Sandra Lamb.
LinkedIn.
Yes.
LinkedIn.
Facebook. But yeah, but email. Absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you again so
thank
much.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you.
It's been lovely.
And amazing, a really great conversation.
It really
today.
Was.
All day. It was been all day. It felt like it was all day. All hour.
We'll carry on all day. All day.
Yeah, exactly. Meaningful conversation, that's why.
We have had a nice last minute tweet from the Business Diary saying, thanks for the fab shout out, Prosecco on order. Good, make sure you got enough.
We'll be there, Lisa.
Yes.
Book me a ticket.
Definitely. So we have come to the end of another show. And yeah, just people, just be aware. Take that time out. De-stress.
Yeah.
Spend time.
Look after yourself.
And one thing I have found recently as well is if you're feeling stressed or down, or because this weather doesn't help people either, does it? I mean, rain. Seriously, I am so sick of the rain. You couldn't believe it. And I didn't notice it so much last year, but because I'm out in it with the horses, I'm like, it's just not raining. I've had enough mud, rain. But look at the faces of the people that you love and the things that make you happy.
Exactly. Just,
yeah.
Perfect. See what feeds your soul.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
See
what feeds your soul.
It's very important. We didn't even touch on feeding your soul.
It's a whole another conversation, isn't it?
Another part of
the
It is absolutely feeding yourself. Sandra is the reason why I now have a horse and spend half my time in the mud.
Just to find what feeds your soul.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Thank you again so much for being with us today. Thank you, Julie, for co-hosting, and wonderful
again. Thank you for having me too.
We will be back next week. Well, I'll be back next week. Co-host is going to be Gemma Fairclough Haynes, and our guest is Tabitha Beasley, who did tweet earlier to say she's looking forward to being on the show. So Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant. So it's all going to be about marketing and business next week. So join us again at 11 o'clock. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to listen to The Bunker Show on Tuesday. Paul's got another great lineup of guests. Have a fantastic time, weekend. Stay warm. It's turned cold, isn't it? Stay warm. Hopefully it's going to be dry for a little
while. Put a brolly in your handbag.
Yeah, and start that Christmas shopping. It won't be long. They have started singing Christmas carols at school now, so...
Wow. In Leicester Square, all the lights are up. I was up there last night and, yeah, Christmas lights are coming.
Oh, goodness.
Christmas is coming. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye.
Good weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.